You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans are on the road. At least one of them is on the road. Alexis is in Vegas. Say hi, Alexis.
Hello.
Alexis is in Las Vegas going to Pizza Fest, PizzaCon, Pizza Expo. It's one of those. Also, we talk about the U.S. men's national team doing the business, crushing Honduras / Minnesota United. Also, we cover the MLS matches that were like, I don't give a fuck about no international breaks.
Oh, in the second segment, and by the way, I'm not at Pizza Expo. I got flown out here because I'm a pizza genius, and then I'm going to LA and I'm doing a bunch of shows. But whatever, we'll talk about it later. In the second segment, we also talk to Podcaps host Chris James, which if you don't know, two comedians have this incredible podcast about the Whitecaps. Christian and I normally don't like comedians doing MLS podcasts, but we'll let them live a little longer.
All this and more on the Cooligans!
The Cooligans
are back another week, and even though it sounds like we are near each other, very close, we usually do this podcast while we're hugging.
Absolutely, I put the mic in my arm and go around your neck, and you do it to me. So it's almost like the wine thing, you know, when the arms twist wine. But imagine that with your entire body.
Yeah, it's almost like a Lady and the Tramp, but if they were recording a podcast.
And we sit Indian style, and we interlock our legs with each other's bodies. So that seems weird to you, maybe you're the weird one.
Native American style.
Yeah, sorry.
It's 2017.
Yeah, actually, it's a crisscross applesauce. That's what you're supposed to say. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I said my sister-in-law is a first grade teacher. And I told her niece, I'm like, yo, sit Indian style. And she was like, no. And I'm like, what? She's like, no. She's like, and the little girl's like, what's that mean? And she's like, no, we're not going to do that. Let's sit a different way. She's like, let's sit crisscross, because she didn't even want to associate it, because she didn't want this kid taking that back to school.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not exactly sure how that's offensive, but sure. Yeah, we can't say that anymore.
We can't bring that Newark public schooling.
your boy got expelled from public school, so he had to go to Catholic school, which is what they call juvie with Bibles. I don't know if you guys know that.
They were like, the government was like, we got to get him out of public school, and God is the only one who can help this boy.
And we got to get him to something that's really going to put fear in his heart, and that's God.
But yes, Alexis is not in the room with me. He is in Las Vegas.
I am Viva Las Vegas at the International Pizza Expo.
Pizza Fest, PizzaCon.
Yeah, well, it's not PizzaCon because it's not for like fans. No one's dressed. Well, actually, there are a couple people dressed like pizza.
of course.
Kind of embarrassing. But no, this is like an industry show. So it's a lot of pizza makers that are out here, and like a lot of like, you know, tomato growers and shit like that. And it's just a lot of fun. You know, I have a little bit of fame in the pizza industry, which is hilarious. You know, people are like, a couple guys ran up to me. And they're like, dude, we've wanted to meet you. And I'm like, from comedy? And they're like, no, pizza. I'm like, just fucking say comedy next time. You know?
Wow, that must be pretty flattering. What's better, to be recognized for as a pizza guy or as a Cooligan?
Well, let me tell you this much. There is no social justice blogging about pizza, so I prefer the pizza. I don't like when, I know you. You're the one who made that joke 7 years ago, and I'm like, great. Yeah.
All right. So
you're still in New York. Christian's in New York. And
that's
normally,
right.
you know, normally we like to be really close with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we're far apart, and I hate it. I hate every second of it.
It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right.
You know, I used to hate the fact that we had to do this once a week because you were kind of annoying at one point. But, like, you know, now, like, I've gotten used to you. You know what I mean? Like,
when was I ever annoying? Have you ever seen yourself?
Yeah, me. I'm a joy to be around. And if I remember correctly, I was voted most likely to be a breeze to be friends with in high school. That was my superlative, which, by the way, I found out that was called a superlative like a year ago. I didn't know that was called a superlative.
Again, Newark public schools.
Yeah. Oh, they would beat the Jesus into you, but not much of education.
But yeah, look, so even though, yeah, we're not together, we got another fun show ahead because this is exciting because we have an interview coming up with another comedian who is part of a duo that that also do an MLS related podcast.
Yeah, and at first when I found out that there was another group of duo of comedians doing an MLS podcast, I was ready to call in a bomb threat. You know what I mean? Like yeah, send bed bugs or something. You know?
You're like, oh, okay, so we have new enemies. All
yeah, right. So all right, we're gonna catch another body. I'm like, Christian, go ahead, might as well just go ahead and get that other teardrop tattoo because we're gonna take another one out. But no, these guys are great, and they do a one for a specific team, so it's kind of cool. We started out, you know, with the idea of doing maybe an NYCFC podcast, but I think you and I figured out right away that there was more of a need for a much more of a sort of national podcast hosted by comedians, and these guys are doing one that's specific to the Whitecaps, which is great.
That's so, right. So John Cullen and Chris James. James is the one we interviewed. So they do a podcast called Podcaps. Yeah. It's a Vancouver Whitecaps podcast, and it's great. And this is I listened to a couple episodes and. I'll say this. I think there is something, you know, for when it comes to every single MLS team, I don't know in and out every single player. I don't know the sort of the culture and the sentiment around every team. But hearing comedians talk about it makes me care. I think
why it's because, and we go over this kind of maybe a little bit in the interview. I'm not sure if we do, but it's like what you're saying. It's like it's not just this mundane data dump. It's like a fun, you get to like, this is what the fans are talking about. This is how it is to hang out with fans of that club. It's kind of fun.
Exactly. And now I know how everybody who listens to Cooligans feels. They're like, right, this is great. This is so fun.
Hashtag blessed.
So we speak to Chris James from Podcaps. He's a Vancouver comedian, and that's a
don't hold it against him. He's very funny.
Nobody's perfect. Yeah, you can't help where you're born.
No, you can't. I mean, you could leave and go somewhere else, but he's really holding it down. Yeah, he's a funny dude. And actually, he's been out to New York. I know I've met him. We can't figure out how we met, but we know we met. We have a lot of mutual friends, and everyone has nothing but nice things to say about him. And we both shit on the same comics from New York, which is hilarious in a funny way. Shouts to Alex Pavone. It's a sweetheart.
For anybody listening, for comedians, that's how we bond. We need to we shit on the people. If you also dislike someone I dislike, we're friends now.
Yeah, for sure. And here's the other thing. If we're nice to you, that means we don't like you. You're not in the circle.
Oh,
it's the people we're meanest to is the people we love the most.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. Even though I'm pretty nice to people.
You're like a nice. Yeah, but see, you're like I'm nice to everyone. Everyone says that like I'm easy to get along. I'm just nice at least. Amicable, if you will.
Yeah.
But I think you have. You're not as real, I don't think. You know, you have...
Okay, you know, all right.
If we're going to be honest, I think you're overall a very nice person, and I think you just have that demeanor of, like, I'm not going to be mean to people. That's not my thing. But, you know, now that I've known you for long enough, you really start to boil down. We see each other once a week. We really talk. I get the real, like, the bro, that subconscious disdain of people has come out.
Yeah. It exists.
Sure. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to get you there.
I can repress it probably a little bit better than you, but yeah, I would say I will say that if I am mean to you, that is you know that is a sign of like you're endearing to me
for sure.
All right, so anybody who I'm just gonna imagine all of a sudden I just become a Twitter troll, just start being mean to everyone.
Yeah. Christian joins the alt-right. Like, you know you're dark-skinned and Dominican, right, Christian? Can't we say white pride?
I'm just constantly tweeting at Planned Parenthood.
As a Dominican, that's hilarious. That's like a Cuban who doesn't know how to swim.
Oh boy. All right. Well, speaking of I have no other.
You got nothing?
Nothing. But look, let's start off this episode with some international duty that and America getting the business done.
Let's just talk. I mean, everyone knows the USA played Minnesota United and won.
I just realized what I didn't hear it for a second. I'm like, they did.
Let me tell you something. Yeah, Adrian Heath is now the manager of Honduras. Let me tell you something. I was not expecting that, but were you nervous before the match at all?
So I was terrified, right? And also, I remember I was in a play that just wrapped, and the play was right before the match. So I'm like supposed to be, you know, supposed to remember my lines and get all the cues right, and all I can think about is if the USA loses this goddamn game, I'm gonna lose my mind. Yeah. I couldn't focus on anything.
You go off book and just start off script.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like lines. All of a sudden I'm getting angry at the other character in the play, but I'm calling him Christian Pulisic for some reason.
Yeah. They're like, Christian, you need to stop yelling at us, and none of us are named Bruce Arena.
So yeah, I was paranoid. I mean, there's no other word for it. I just, like, especially with the dire kind of situation after losing the first two World Cup qualifiers in the hexagonal, you just like, come on. I mean, like, please get this win, because obviously Panama's coming up next, and that's going to be a tougher match. So very, very comforting. After I saw that I was like on my phone, looking at the score, and they scored early, and they just never let up.
Well, having watched it, I was texting with a buddy of mine. Shout out to Steven Diaz, who listens to the podcast and has a cousin that might want to be our intern. We'll mention it again. If you know someone who is looking to get into production, maybe podcasting, and knows anything about video editing and is in the New York area, we'd be happy to have him as our intern. But shout out to Steven Diaz, who also, by the way, bought a couple things from On the Volley, who I'm going to see. I'm going to see our homie Elvis of On the Volley.
Cool.
When I'm in LA. So, he bought it. And again, if anybody else wants to buy used Cooligans, get yourself a discount, and some of that money comes to us, which is pretty, pretty dope. And he said he's going to give me some new stuff for us, so we'll have some new stuff to wear in the videos. But Steven Diaz and I were talking back and forth, and I was kind of nervous because I knew it was on the line, and we had just not looked very confident. Even the first, Bruce Arena matches weren't all that, incredible.
Yeah.
And the way they came out, and he just kept saying, like, Steve was just like, dude, don't even worry about it. It's Honduras. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. They got Keto. They've got some real skilled players. This could be bad for us. And or Kyoto, I should say. And let me tell you something. We came out beasting.
Look, they scored in the fifth minute. Sebastian Legette got started.
And the boy,
and also disappointing because he got injured, and now I think initially didn't think it was that serious, but now we know he's gonna need surgery, and he's gonna be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Let me tell you, he was
4 to 6 months. Incorrect.
4 to 6 months.
Yeah. So it's bad.
If you're LA, this sucks. But for the men's national team, I mean, here's someone who I don't think was expecting to get the nod, and played really well. I will say, though, it seems like we played better with Alejandro Bedoya up there. And I don't know if that's just, he didn't get that much time, so I feel bad saying that for Legette. But if you think of that first goal, it was kind of hodgepodge, no?
Yeah. I mean, it was bouncing around, and he put it back in. Great goal. And disappointing overall to get that wasn't his first cap, not official cap, but his first game that wasn't a friendly.
That's his first time scoring for a qualifier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be a great feeling. I mean, the team didn't look too succinct in that run up. But it's incredible that, he gets the goal, and it at least it's like it just calmed everyone down. It was early. It was good. And the club the team looked so much better after that. And you could tell what a weight lifted off their shoulder, and something that I had completely forgotten that Bruce Arena used to preach. And I remember hearing about this. First foul, first shot, first goal. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's the three things he says. He wants his club or his team to go out and get the first shot, the first foul, and the first goal.
Meaning they should foul someone first?
Yeah, just show the other team you're there. Like, Be the first one to go out there and like make your presence known. You know what I mean?
That's you could tell Bruce Arena has been to prison.
He's Brooklyn Bruce.
He walks in.
He's got focaccia with oil leaking out of it, and he's got a couple pieces of prosciutto in there, and he's like, "Listen up, you guys.
Fine.
What you got to do is you go out there, and if I don't see some blood on the socks of the other team, you're not doing anything."
He's like, find the biggest guy in there.
Yeah. You walk in. New rules. His assistants are holding his inside his pockets. All right, new rules. You go out there, the biggest guy you see, you punch that dude as hard as you can, okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's fascinating. Look, I mean, it, at this point, you know, the concern was, you know, what's Bruce really bringing that's any different from what Jurgen was, especially with how you know, unimpressive those two friendlies were in January, right? In January and February. But oh my goodness, if they can keep even half of this sort of effort up, we're guaranteed a spot in the World Cup.
Well, we also have to win against Panama, which is, by the way, we're recording this on Tuesday, so that's tonight, and I'm not going to be able to watch it because I'm going to be on a pizza tour here in Vegas. So I hate the fact that I'm not watching. I hate the fact that Roman Torres is on the other team, that they have the weekend. And Fina Semana.
Yeah, they got the star boy himself.
Yeah, yeah. Selena Gomez or whoever he's dating is going to be in the audience. That joke went too far. Okay. But, you know, I have all the confidence in the world. But look, not only am I an Arsenal fan, I've been a U.S. men's national team fan for a long time. When you have confidence is when you get bit. I feel like every match we need to go in with the impression that we're going to lose, like I thought with Honduras.
Okay. Yeah. Look, the thing that probably the biggest surprise of and the biggest thing to take from this match was really Clint Dempsey. Clint Dempsey was
But that's a problem.
Really? That's a problem for you.
How old is Clint Dempsey? And he's got a bad heart. This is bad.
You're very concerned with that particular organ. I mean, he wouldn't be playing. Well, he wouldn't be playing if there was any more, you know, of a concern left. Obviously, he needs the minutes. But the big issue is that there's no one else. That's the scary part for the future.
Yes.
That there's no one else that could replace a guy with a faulty ticker.
Yes, the guy's got a bad ticker, and he's in his mid-30s. He should be in a home.
But how good was he? That was,
oh my God, he was incredible. And you know the free kick was amazing.
Just a
Pirlo-esque
knuckleball. That was just like,
yeah.
That was beautiful.
And to the far top bins. I mean, that, you know, like, upper 90, we're American, sorry, upper 90, the top, the upper 90, in the far corner, I mean the far post. I can't, it's hard for me to complain about this because, you know, I think what he brings, he not just the scoring, but like the intangible, you know, the toughness that he brings, is he's a great guy to have on the team, and I think he's really good for Christian Pulisic because, you know, Pulisic is going to make those passes. A guy like Clint Dempsey understands where to go. You know, he's gotten smarter with spacing as he's gotten older, and he was great with it before. You know, he was a forward that in England they would let roam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I get it, but he's in his mid. You know, Jermaine Jones is saying he's coming back. Homie's 48. You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm not even going to look that up because why would you be wrong?
No, we don't need to. Well, who's going to fact check that? Because obviously I know exactly what I'm talking about. But the thing that frustrates me the most is here we are still depending. We don't even have a left back and a right back.
Yeah.
We just don't. Beasley had no team and he was on the national team.
I think they kind of like flip a coin for who wants to play left back and right back each game.
This is so frustrating.
Look, but DeAndre Yedlin is obviously injured. You know, he's the guy that they would rely on. Bobby Wood is injured. There's a lot of so
how long is Yedlin out for? Do you know?
I don't know exactly. I can look it up, but
I have no clue.
What's annoying is that it's definitely a concern, especially with the left and right back, especially with the injuries and especially with Dempsey sort of shining. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of cause for concern. But then they do this. Then they win 6-0 and basically tell everybody, like, no, we're good. We're doing just fine. Even though it's not just a complete, like, 100% seal of approval.
Right.
But it is calming. I mean, without a doubt.
Yeah, it's nice to have them, and it's nice to have these veterans. But, like, it reminds me of, like, you know, the Ukrainian team in the Euros a couple of Euros ago, when, like, Shevchenko was at the end of his career and, you know, clearly playing really well. And, you know, he got them really far. They were hosting it. And it was great to see. But, like, everyone knew they're not going to be the same without him. And same thing with, you know, Sweden without Zlatan. There's just... And not to say that, I mean, there's not that big of a gap. I think we're going to be just fine without Clint Dempsey. But it goes to show how much we need, you know, one of these strong scorers. And I know Bobby Wood can be that. I don't know if he can be what we saw against Honduras. And maybe Altidore, you know, who played, you know, look, he didn't get a goal, but he played hold up really, really well. So he'll still be there and setting it up for Bobby Wood. I have confidence moving forward. It just scares the bejesus out of me that we are four positions. We're either don't have a player right now or we have someone who normally is retired at this age.
Yeah.
That just scares the shit out of me.
Well, there must be something. I don't know. Do you think this can happen like in any country with so many players? What is this?
Yeah, 300 million people. We can't get a right back. And by the way, why aren't we playing 3-5-2? If we don't have a left back and a right back, then let Graham Zuzzi play box to box or be a wing back in a 3-5-2.
You know, my only answer to that is 6-0, bro. 6-0. Yeah.
No, you're right. But we're not going to play Minnesota United every time.
Yeah, that was what a concern. I mean, you know, when we were recording FIFA the News and we were like wondering why in the world Honduras wasn't in FIFA 17. I think we know why. I think we figured out.
We now know. We now know exactly why. That's hilarious. That's a great point.
It is very clear. Yeah, they did not play well. And also, Christian Pulisic, just to highlight him real quick, somebody created a video of all his touches during the game. He was almost flawless. I mean, he barely lost.
Oh, dude, could you forward that to me? Because I would love to see that.
Yeah, I mean, the way you said that was just like, I want to see that.
Yeah, I'm in a hotel room by myself in Vegas.
I want to see them first touches.
Just put a little Jade in the background.
So but yeah, so like, yeah, he was great, and you know, obviously, look, he's scoring Champions League goals, and he's bringing some of that confidence to the men's national team, and hopefully that can spill over to some of these old men that are getting
spill over on old men.
Sorry. Hurry up and forward that video.
No. I think I just found the link. Somebody said that the porn references over and over again, or the prostitute references last podcast was funny. So let's hope they like these.
Yeah.
These references.
It's like, is this a podcast or a sex line that they're having?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude. I mean, you know, I don't have much to complain about when it comes to that game, and I love it, but you know, I am who I am, and I walked away going, all right, this was good, but you know, it's like getting mugged and the guy's gun jams, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't mean I'm unstoppable. You know what I mean? Right? I can't just go punching thugs now like that. You know, we were lucky, and I don't know if luck was exactly how I think it doesn't give enough credit to the wonderful play and how well managed we were. And we were, you know, Bruce Arena, it does not forward or advance your football as a nation, but what he does is get the best out of every player. By the way, did you see Omar Gonzalez? They had a sort of like a post-match interview with Omar Gonzalez.
I didn't see it. No.
Oh my god. All right, well, they asked him, they're like, tell us what's different about now with Bruce, and he was like, you know, you're really putting me on the spot here. And he was like afraid to badmouth Jurgen, right? Like, he didn't know how to say it. He was like, you know, Bruce, things are a lot simpler. And, you know, he's like, I've never walked out with this much confidence because, you know, we used to have a lot of directives, and now it's very simple. Here's what you need to be doing. And it gives us more confidence, and we know exactly what to do while we're out there, and so on and so forth. And he was just really, he was like, you're really putting me on the spot here. You know, he kept saying things like that. And it just got me thinking, like, yo, I think Jurgen got some shooters out here, yo.
It's just nobody wants to badmouth him. It's just like, yo, it's like Jurgen's watching.
Yo, Jurgen Putin out here. He got people listening, dog. You better not badmouth him.
That's why, I mean, you know, when we interviewed Juan Agudelo, that was sort of similar, right? We asked him the same question, and he was just like, well, Bruce just kind of lets us do our thing.
Yeah, like, it was a very, it's funny, because, like, when Agudelo did it, I was like, oh, that's media training. But you could see, I guess, because we couldn't really see his face. But now that I saw Omar Gonzalez, like, go through all 12 stages of grief, I don't know if it's 12, but he went through all of that in one, like, facial expressions. It was like confusion, then angry at the question, acceptance. He did it all. It was wild to see. And, you know, I mean, nobody wants to shit on Jurgen other than the fans. But it's Jimmy Conrad. But it's funny to see, like, how much of a difference just, I guess, having a directive and objective makes it, you know?
They simply look happy. They look freer.
For sure. That is absolutely true. They looked so happy to be out there, and they didn't under Jurgen at all.
They look like, you know, when, like, animals that are, like, that are rescues or whatever, or, like, they were mistreated by the original owners, and then they get to, like, a loving home, and then they can actually, like, frolic. That's what they look like.
They were skipping. It's like, why are the midfielders holding hands?
This is a new U.S. men's national team.
That's hilarious.
All right, so speaking of Juan Agudelo, we were just talking about him. Juan,
MLS had some matches.
MLS did have some matches. They were like, international what? No, no thanks. I'm good.
MLS continuing their slogan for international weekends is, we don't give a fuck.
Yo, we ain't never heard of you, international.
new season, who dis?
So, but there were three MLS matches, and two of them were actually very, very exciting. So that was actually kind of a surprise, because there were so many players missing from rosters.
Yeah, two of them were great.
But two of them were really awesome. So we're talking about Juan Agudelo. New England Revolution did play against Minnesota United, the Honduras of North America.
Just about to say that. Minnesota did put two on the board. You know, steps. We got to go baby steps, right? Everything they do, like, we have to find one thing that they win, you know? And how they won this week was they scored two goals.
That's right. That is a victory. It's like,
progress.
It's not a victory in the record books by any means.
No. You don't get points, but you do. You do get us talking about it in a positive way. By the way, I didn't get a chance to watch this match. I watched the condensed version of it, and let me tell you something. Can we stop watching highlights of Minnesota matches? Because it's honestly like watching a snuff film. it's not fair, dude. It's just I don't like watching it. It makes me feel so bad.
It's like watching a highlight of the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals.
Not even, because the Washington Generals, it's like watching a boxing match that's just like very not level. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like it feels like kids are getting beat up. That's how it feels watching a Minnesota match.
It's like watching Ray Rice box against his fiance. It's not fair.
Yes. But imagine that on a loop.
We don't need to see that 34 times in a season.
No.
It's brutal.
It's so bad.
It's pretty bad. And look, Minnesota, I don't know. I think they were. Maybe one or two, that Molino was playing for Trinidad. There were a couple players that were on international duty.
Molino, they're big player, really. I mean, that's their biggest. What was that? 750,000, you know, Garber bucks.
Garber bucks. Yeah, it's good. You can use it anywhere. It's good money.
Yeah. Accepted at all major Valero gas stations.
But regardless of how many players Minnesota would have had that were not on duty for international duty, I don't know if it would have made much of a difference. But New England had an absolute field day. This every team must be just I'm chomping at the bit to play against Minnesota because it's an easy 3 points. And Juan Agudelo, you know, our boy Juan, he really.
Dame el buñuelo con una con un poco de grasa.
He was. I mean, it really looked like an MLS team playing against like a, you know, a USL team or an NASL team
or high school.
High school. He really took advantage, and he was, you know, Minnesota. Their defense is, you know, I don't understand what they were thinking when they were sort of setting up this team. And it's almost like it reminds me of like Mike D'Antoni when he was coaching the Knicks, you know, where he was just like, all offense. I don't care if we give up 400 points. We're just going to score
401.
But that's Minnesota's not good enough to do that. They have almost no reliability, no security when it comes to their defense. And
is what Adrian Heath is doing. He's changing the game. He's decided, what if all of our defenders don't know each other and have never played together? What if they're not even really defenders? You know, he's playing undercover boss. Minnesota season is undercover boss.
What if I flash the Men in Black light in front of them before every match so they don't know who they
and
are?
And at halftime, just in case they develop any.
So they don't feel bad about the 4 goals they give up in the first half. So they don't even remember.
I don't even know. I have no clue what happened in the first half. I mean, honestly, it's like if you play Minnesota from now on, you should be forced to pull a kid from the crowd and have that be your forward. Like that's
just one of the ball kids. Like, hey, ball kid, you're in.
Or. You know, and by the way, they had that, which is always a mistake, but they had that European keeper, Alvogbe, whatever the guy's name is.
I don't know.
He's down. They had Shuttleworth was the one who started. Shuttleworth used to be over at New England. He's the one who started for Minnesota.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, they're making some changes, but I don't think it's the keeper. You know, the keeper can't do it all on his own.
And not at all. I mean, I wouldn't even begin to even suggest it's a flaw with the keeper. In fact,
that's how all post-game speeches start. By the way, it's not your fault, buddy. That's how he started.
You give him a pat on the butt, you're like, you'll be fine.
Get up and stand next to us, the coaches.
It's those four guys in front of you that don't know what they're doing.
It's so rough.
I mean, really, Minnesota should just like be like a 5-3-2 team. I mean, why wouldn't they? I mean, they've given up so many goals.
They should be a 7-0, 7-1-2. All hands on deck. What are you doing?
You know, I was talking to Kevin Hall, another comedian who goes to NYCFC games with us. He plays, he's also an NYCFC fan. He was asking me, how many goals do you think Minnesota's going to give up this season? And because they've already given up 17. So the question for a second, I'm just like, why are you even asking that question? Of course, they're not going to give up that many. It's like, but then once he told me the number from, you know, after three matches or four, what is this, the fourth one? After four matches to give up 17 goals. I mean, they might hit triple digits, right?
Yeah.
And that's not normal at all, ever.
You should not be. Your goal differential should be minus 75. That can't be it.
Yeah, it's bad. And look, it's exciting. Look, watching Juan get those two goals, which were,
and he looked great. He looked so great.
He looked great. I think this is the boost. Every sort of player who's in like a goal drought or whatever. Arsenal should be playing Minnesota United just to lift their spirits, you know?
Yeah, so I could watch them draw 0-0. Get out of here.
Imagine.
Get out of here. Wenger can't even get a zipper up on the coat. You know, it'd be a mess.
You know, we've on this podcast, we talk about Minnesota because they're a new team, and we're obviously interested in their progress. But this is, it's getting a little, I'm not saying like, now is the point to worry, because it was like after the first match, it was the point to worry. But my main concern is I don't want every game for Minnesota to sort of be like this. And as fun as it is to see teams score on them, the matches themselves are pretty, you know, unentertaining, because we know that they're going to get demolished.
Yeah, it's like watching a snuff film. You know ahead of time, oh, this poor girl in the car is going to die at the end of this thing. You sure. know what I mean? It's just, it's bad. It's bad. It's bad for the league.
I'll forward you a link to a snuff film also.
All right. That's not going to make me come like the Pulisic. No, it's, oh boy. You know, ever since that guy told us him and his stepson listen to the show, I feel like I've started making more terrible non-family-friendly references.
Because you're too tempted. Because you know it's the thing you're not. Yeah, you know, like, oh no, I shouldn't do this. So I'm going to
do it. My wife walks away. I'm like, don't eat the cake because it's for the guests.
Yeah,
and guests are going to show up. You got,
and it's also breakfast. So take it.
You know, my aunt always had coffee and a slice of cake for breakfast, and she's the thinnest out of all of us. So maybe she's figured it out.
All right, so
it's hard for me to watch Minnesota highlights. I've watched some of the matches, and they show those moments of brilliance. You know, they have that great buildup, and they really don't know what they're doing in the final third, and the defenders are just like, I mean, from now on, the announcers should be forced to play yakety sax through the entire, like, over the speakers through the entire game.
Even
the, you know, it's just, well, that's actually the clown song. It's just, it's bad. It's bad to watch.
Even their first goal by Colin Warner, which was a great goal. Oh, crap.
Are you still recording?
I'm still recording. I haven't stopped.
All right, me too. Okay. I was saying they should be forced to play yakety sax over the speakers during the match.
Oh, sure,
and
yeah.
Minnesota match, because it's just, it's embarrassing. It's the end of a Benny Hill episode for 90 minutes.
Even with the first goal from Minnesota, Colin Warner scored a great goal, bottom right corner, great shot, but it came up through just like a weird deflection, and it bounced back, and you know, it landed at his feet, and it was a great pass back. But that seems to be how they're scoring their goals.
It wasn't like a run of play. It's either a penalty that Molino hits, or it's one of these like odd ball goals.
They're messy, you know, not Leo Messi.
No, not at all. They're the exact opposite of Messi. Leo have a brother who's never done anything with his life? Because it's that messy. It's Kyle Messi. That's from now on. If you're just a complete mess, I'm going to call you Kyle Messi.
So, you know, what do they call the Minnesota United supporters? The dark clouds?
Clouds. Appropriately named.
The dark clouds have a dark cloud over them. Because
for sure.
It's cause for concern. Hopefully there'll be some improvement. But I think for the next couple of weeks, it's going to be just more of the same. But, you know,
let's say right now, how many points do you think they will have by the end of the season?
I think they at least win six matches.
You're out of your mind. But go ahead. You were saying?
I think they win six. So
plus a couple of draws. They got to get a couple of draws in there.
So
you're so out of your mind.
Maybe 20.
You're way out. Oh, my gosh.
22.
You're so out
22.
Of your mind.
That's they can
you're
win.
You're out of your mind. Have you started doing heavy drugs?
20, you are 22. That's what I'm thinking. I
no. John, no, you're so wrong. I'm going 13 points.
Man, that's bad, man. I mean, it's a bad
I'll
look.
I'll give them 15. Look, I'll give them 15. I'll give them 15 just because I think they're able to squeak out. Maybe they start defending heavily and they get a bunch of draws like no nils. So I'll give them 15. I'm going back to 12. I'm going back to 12.
It doesn't feel
I'm actually taking one off the 13. I'm going down to 12. They're going to get 12. That is the most they're going to get this season. If anyone listening right now wants to tell us, start tweeting at us. Let us know. Shoot us an email. Let us know how many points do you think Minnesota. We got to do something. We got to do a giveaway for whoever gets the closest.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. So keep listening and, you know, follow us on Twitter or whatever. We'll decide what the sort of stipulations are.
If you get it on the nose, you will win something. I promise you that. It's going to be cool. Maybe I'll talk to Elvis. Maybe we'll get you like a dope on the Volley Apparel shirt or something.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. So we'll cover a couple quick things, then we'll get to our interview. This game was actually very, very entertaining. Columbus against Portland, a match that I didn't expect sort of too much from. I think Portland looks like the best team in the league right now, and they played very well. And there was already four goals in the first half. Hot game. I mean, I think both teams. I don't know. I guess Columbus, I just didn't really expect too much from, but I think they're finding a little bit of their form. But they got a late winner and a big win, a really big win for undefeated. Yeah. Especially for a team undefeated like the Portland Timbers.
Merrim looks great. You know, Higuain missed a lot of last year. It's going to take a while to get that rapport going. Luckily, MLS, because of the playoff structure, the first few matches aren't do or die, which means Minnesota could still win the cup. it's a cup for your tears is what they're going to win.
It's a solo cup also.
It's a previously used and washed out solo cup. But which probably is what the MLS handed out first season as the cup. But anything can happen, you know, from this point, because, again, the first few matches don't matter. So it's, like, great to see Columbus, which just has a great squad, sort of get their rapport going. But that and the next match just had no one in the stands, man. What's going on in Columbus? What's going on at Red Bull Arena?
Hold on. I wouldn't say nobody was there. I mean, it wasn't full, but it wasn't nobody.
It was so empty, dude. And I get that the Columbus one isn't downtown. You know, but, you know, what's going on with the fans, man?
It's tough to say. I mean, I think early on in the season, it is some cities are much colder than others. And
sad that that's an excuse.
Look, it's difficult to dismiss that as an excuse when, you know, we also go to NYCFC games and it's when it's like 28 degrees and it's
yeah,
a bit.
There were triple the amount of people at the last match during a snowstorm. There was triple the amount of people that there was in Columbus. And probably Red Bull put together.
Well, there's also 8 million people in New York City, so that helps.
Oh, well, the Red Bulls supposedly are in New York City, so.
No, we know where they are.
Yeah, we all know where they
but
are.
This match was great. This super entertaining.
Yeah, and I really love watching Portland play, man. You know, I was really worried about what's his face? Nagby on the left, and God, it looks great.
Yeah, you know, for just a quick side note, I love. We got a message from Igor Mortis. He hit us up on Twitter at Igor Mortis 13.
The official
Cooligans tattoo artist in Portland.
By the way, Igor, if you're listening, go to Sizzle Pie. Those are my homies. Tell them that. I can't forget the guy with the long hair. Tell him you know Alexis, and he met me during the Pizza Expo. I work for Scott's Pizza Tours. Those guys are great. I would love if they got more business. They're absolutely awesome. Sizzle Pie out in Portland. Shouts to them.
All right. So, but he did mention for you to never play as the Portland Timbers again in FIFA.
Because he blames me. He blames me for Portland's loss in real life, which, if we're all being honest, might actually be the reason an undefeated team lost. I might be that bad juju that sent their way. I apologize, and I may have to do it again at some point, but I really don't want to fuck it up for you.
But the overall game is very entertaining, like I said, but I think the most exciting part of this match was the Ola Kamara goal.
Oh, man.
Chipping over Jake Gleason.
From
outside the box. Also, it's one of those, was the shot amazing or was the goalkeeping that poor?
No, you know what? It's not, because keepers run out all the time. It takes a certain amount of balls to kick a ball in that sort of chip powder, knowing the keeper's running out.
So how many balls does Ola Kamara have? How many of this certain amount of them? Does he have three?
Minnesota's going to have points by the end of the season.
So he will have more than 22, according to me. Kamara has more than 22 balls. And according to you, he has more than 13 balls. Okay.
Ola Kamara has more balls than Minnesota will have points by the end of the season. That might be one of the most awesome and dumbest things that's ever been said on this podcast.
So, yeah, that was it was incredible. What a, like he look, Kai Kamara leaving was always obviously a big concern for Columbus, but Ola Kamara, the replacement Kamara that grows right out of the ground, we see how incredible he was.
Right. And when Ola leaves, there's going to be another Kamara. It's just you know, there's a Kamara factory out in Columbus, Ohio.
It's an organic Kamara farm, so
right, free range Kamaras only.
They're treated well, those Kamaras.
Yeah, they're happy Kamaras. You can't be out here with some old, you know, drugged up Kamaras that can't even fly. You need some happy free range Kamaras.
That's right. So look, and a late goal in the 84th minute from Nico Hanton. And this was, again, but Ola Kamara sort of set this up. There was a cross, I think it was from Finlay. I don't remember exactly who it was. But Kamara chested the ball, you know, in like as a shot because it came. It was just at a weird height. Right. Chested it into Gleason. Gleason parries it away. Also a little bit of a bad, it's like in hockey when you leave a juicy rebound, that's sort of what Gleason did. He left it basically, you know, for Nico Hanton, and he hit it right in. It was a game that Portland probably should have gotten a result from, but Columbus, you know, they stuck it out and they took all 3 points.
And I like Gleason a lot. I think he's one of those like stoic type goalkeepers that has a lot of you know, just a lot of authority and sort of leads the back line really well. But he's had some major missteps these first few matches. I don't know if that's something that's going to come to bite them in the ass as we go along, because he's also played really, really well. But you know, when it comes to goalkeeping, it's with those one or two mistakes that could cost you really important matches. So that's something that I'm really interested in looking at as we go along, just to see how he continues to play. Because if he continues to play like he played the last few years, he's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably safe to say, you know, Portland is definitely a playoff team. I mean, they should be there.
For sure.
Compared to, you know, the difference from last season and this season, it's a whole new team.
MLS, it's about who gets hot at the right time. So right now, it's, you know, yeah, build the rapport and you know, fine. But you know, when it comes to MLS, it's about, you know, getting on that hot streak. I mean, you know, if you don't believe me, go back and look at Seattle's record. Go back and listen to our episodes with Matt Pence. We weren't sure they were going to make the playoffs, and they lifted the cup. So
yeah. So the other match I will talk about very briefly.
Why are we talking about it? Goals happened, one was there to see it if they did. Okay.
The Red Bulls did play against Real Salt Lake. It was a 0-0 draw. It was a game where both teams had good chances. And
tons of chances.
Very, very surprising from Bradley Wright Phillips to have open headers just missed. I mean, there was no real excuse. There was no excuse for no goals to happen in this game. Very surprising. And probably easily the Red Bulls easily regret not getting anything out of this, because they had great, great chances. And RSL, obviously, they just fired their coach. They're, you know, slight sort of disarray, and they could have taken advantage of that, and they did not.
Yeah, and, you know, RSL could have been like a 4-3 match, you know what I mean? It's just no one found the back of the net. Everyone had chances. Everyone missed.
Yeah. Just a bummer of a match, but at least we had two good matches from this international break.
66% of your matches are great. That's a good week.
Yeah. So you want to go to the interview, Alexis?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
let's do
for
that.
Sure.
We've been talking for
you know,
a while.
Again, Chris James, John Cullen, great podcast that they have. If you guys are Whitecaps fans and you're listening to this, you now have something to listen to right after our podcast.
That's
right. And these guys are hilarious. You know, they each have like individual podcasts that go up on porn sites. It's just wild. It's just
yeah. But this is the thing that's going to start happening, where comedians is going to start you know, contributing something to the MLS world, which I think the MLS was missing. So it's good. I like this trend. You know, even
though me too. And we were here to foster this. Jesus.
That's right. And even though they are our enemies and we hate them, they will die. They will die.
Right.
No, let's not get crazy. They won't make it to a fifth episode of their podcast.
No. You know, they just need to know that the hit is out. We're just waiting for all the other chips to fall in the right place. You know?
Correct. So, yeah, we're waiting for, you know, our Florio to come on a boat from Italy to do the job.
Right. And he's not staying in my house because my Carmelo will not be looked at in that manner.
So we spoke with Chris James. Great conversation. Super funny. And comedy's taking over soccer, guys. Get used to it. So get ready.
I hope y'all like it because like we ain't going anywhere. And I can't wait for these guys to come to New York. I'd love to do some video content with them. It's going to be great.
All right. So so we'll play the interview right after these messages.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Quick break here. I just want to tell you a little bit about On the Volley Apparel. You've heard it so many times. Some of you actually went out and bought some of the gear. It's absolutely incredible. Once again, my favorite hoodie I've ever had in my entire life.
Great gear. They make great stuff.
Absolutely. Big fan of the podcast as well.
Yeah, they make soccer-inspired clothing. Look, if you've heard us talk about it before. You've seen us wearing some of the clothing on our videos.
Yeah, we're always wearing it in the videos.
It's great stuff. It's urban-inspired. It is hip-hop.
It's a little hood. It's a little soccer, but it's all dope, super high quality, very comfortable, and not very expensive. And it's even less expensive because you listen to us.
Exactly. So if you use the promo code COOLIGANS, you'll receive 30% off. That's
incredible.
That's a hot deal.
Come on now.
Hot deal. So make sure you use the promo code COOLIGANS. Look, they right before the MLS season, there's a lot of new apparel, coming out.
Sure.
So you can check it out there.
And they got a whole bunch of new designs and stuff coming out. And again, get their hoodies, get their sweatshirts. They're incredibly comfortable. They got cool t-shirts. They got like 3/4 length sleeves. They even got stuff for the ladies.
They have stuff for actual gameplay.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. So listen, if you didn't get something for your girl on Valentine's Day, hustle up, get something, you get yourself 30% off, make her feel a little better at the end of the week when you get that shipment, and look what I got you, it's On the Volley. And they're like, yo, isn't this the same thing Alexis and Christian wear? And then you're like, what, you watching them when I'm not around? And then you can have an argument because how much the girl loves us.
You sort that out, right. Because, I mean, obviously, we're not trying to ruin any relationships or marriages.
It's not our fault. We're too pretty.
But make sure, go to onthevalleyapparel.com, onthevalleyapparel.com, and use the promo code COOLIGANS, and you'll get 30% off.
So 30% off.
It's a great deal. So do that right now.
Yeah, we're back.
We're back, everybody.
Oh, man. And, we always tease these interviews because we absolutely love it. We get a chance to talk to players or journalists. But this is absolutely new for us. Two other comedians in Canada, Bizarro, Alexis and Christian, have started a podcast in Canada.
Our doppelganger, yeah. Our Canadian doppelganger.
Yeah, yeah, are much nicer. So where I won't apologize, these guys come in for us. But they're actually hilarious, and we've kind of met one of them before. They come through New York all the time. We haven't been to Vancouver yet, but we got to get out there. But these guys decided to start the only Whitecaps podcast because none had existed before them.
Yeah, it's crazy because there's clearly 21 other MLS teams.
Who
they obviously neglect them because they've never heard of any of the other teams.
Of course not. Yeah, in fact, Whitecaps are the only club in according to these guys. By the way, if you're listening to this, going, wait a minute, I listened to another Whitecaps podcast. We're about to change that. You're about to listen to the only Whitecaps podcast after this. So, ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, Chris James.
Hey, Chris, what's up, man?
Oh, how's it going, guys? Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Welcome to the Cooligans.
Yeah, I'm excited that you. So that's cool. You guys mentioned we're the only Whitecaps podcast.
Yeah, that's what you guys say.
Well, a lot of people on Twitter have been trying to dispute that fact. Although there's a lot of fake news. We all know nowadays. Who knows what's real and not on
exactly.
Twitter? But a lot of people. No one's linked me to anything that's concrete that could tell me there's ever been another Whitecaps podcast. So
no, those are all Breitbart articles. Who knows where the source
alternative podcasts is what they
yes,
are.
That's right. That's
and what
right.
I love well, about yeah. it is that you've been on another podcast, or at least you or your one of your co-hosts has been on another Whitecaps podcast. But that also does not exist.
Yeah, that's weird. They claim he was on it, but we're not sure, to be honest.
But this is exciting because look, especially when it comes to MLS, there are not many comedians that give MLS that much attention.
I'll go one step further. There's not that many entertaining people that give MLS a lot of attention if you've seen some of the content.
And I noticed that if there were another White Caps podcast, you would say it would probably be really dry and have absolutely no entertainment value to it at all.
And I think that's why we also started what we're doing, is because we were tired of seeing, you know, gym rats talking to a camera as opposed to people with personalities. And that's where you guys came in. What inspired you to actually do it? Because I know you have another podcast. You have a podcast that's all about Bar Rescue, the television show.
That's like a live video one, and we stream it on a sex website, chatterbait.com.
Perfect.
And so that's kind of like a weird thing that I do. But I mean, I'm a stand-up comedian. John and I are both stand-up comedians, and we have had season tickets to the White Caps for a number of years. We stand in the Southsiders, which is the supporters section, and we love the team, and we would always talk about it. You know, we would get together and talk about it after the game anyways. So we thought, why not just do it on a microphone and see if people enjoy it? And it turns out they don't. They hate it.
Yeah. Welcome to our conundrum. Yeah.
It's great. Well, that's actually one of the cool things, because I do a lot of weird stuff. Like I said, I mean, my other show is about Bar Rescue, and it's on a sex website. It's, you know, it's mostly dealing with fans, people I know who would like that kind of thing. But this is interesting because there's real Whitecaps fans who have no idea of my comedy or my tone or anything, and they just hate what they hate. What they say, this, why is this guy always talking about jacking off? That's what they say.
What I love about it is, like, people who are used to listening to soccer content aren't used to hearing sarcasm.
So, no, exactly.
So when you present it, at first they deny that it exists. They hate the fact that it's happening, and then at some point some catch on. So that's what we have to do. It's like we catch a lot of fish, but we can't get them in the boat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. We like to ban people from our show. Like anyone who says anything bad, like says like I don't want to listen to this, then we tell them you're banned now. Like we like to ban people who don't want to listen anyways.
That'll teach them.
Yeah,
it's like a kind of a, it's just a funny bit. We bring up the ban list on each episode, you know, but then like, yeah, some people don't get it, but then a lot of people play along with it. Even people who I don't think originally got it, they start to get it and they play along.
Well, it's similar, like you guys started your podcast for very similar reasons that we did. We you know, we're season ticket holders for NYCFC,
yeah,
and you know, we were joking around a lot, like at the games, and this, you know, during their first year we started noticing that you know, when we would go to comedy clubs, we would try to talk to other comics about soccer, and maybe some of them knew about like Premier League and things like that, but they didn't know anything about MLS. But what I find so odd is that there's almost like no sense of humor in soccer to some degree. We were talking about even just like sarcasm.
Yeah, there's like light banter in England, and that's it.
Yeah, but when
there is one type of humor in like. I support Manchester United. I know it's very obvious, but since I was a little kid, I have, and I'm a big fan of theirs. And so I'll follow the Twitter while the match goes on. And the real humor is in how outrageously vicious they are and how, like, unhappy with everything they are.
Yeah. You
know? So, like, that's, like, humorous from an outsider looking in. Like, there's a guy who claims, like, the lineup comes out and he says he's going to kill his German Shepherd or kill his dog. And he shows a picture of it in the washing machine. And you're like, holy crap, man.
The water in Manchester.
Yeah, so they take it so seriously, and that's funny. But you're right, as far as like, there's the odd one that kind of has a little bit, but most of them take it so deadly seriously.
Yeah, and for us, I don't think there's anything, including in my case, my health, that I take seriously. I just, you know, I can't. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like we joke about everything. Everything is an opportunity to be, you know, funny for us. And you guys get it. And I listen back. You guys are only three episodes in.
Yeah, we just started this season. That's right. Yeah, so the beginning of this season is when we started it.
So you're going to do one every week. And You've been following the club for how long now?
I mean, I've been following the club since its inception. I mean, I've been following the club. They used to be the Whitecaps a long time ago. They were then the Vancouver 86ers. They played in the USL in a different stadium. And then so the franchise itself has been around since I was born. And I've played soccer and watched since I was, you know, 5 years old. But yeah, they've been in the MLS, I guess, since 2011.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've followed since then, and the ups and the downs, I would say.
Yeah, you had that one good run. I, for some reason, I don't know why, I still believe that you are the team you were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Which,
but we're not.
No, no, apparently not. But I keep, because, you know, I thought back, who was the, I still remember that one Hasley goal, which is incredible, that Eric Hasley.
Greatest goal in MLS history, in my opinion.
Yeah, I probably, it'd be hard to disagree on that, besides every goal David Villa has ever scored. But, but
on that beautiful football pitch, Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you're on a CFL pitch, so, with curtains.
Oh, man, it looks beautiful, though. You should see it. Actually made the, there was a list on 442 Magazine, had the best football stadiums in the world, and it was actually up there. And the top 100 actually made the ranking.
Okay. You know what?
Actually, the turf is garbage. It sucks that we have to play on turf, and we don't get players because of it. But the actual stadium itself is very nice to watch games.
I was going
to
ask about that.
Yankee Stadium sucks to watch games in. I know, because I watched one.
It's actually pretty good if you're sitting in the supporter section, and at least it's real grass. Let me ask you, at least
real grass and dirt.
I was going to say, like, yeah, like 70% real grass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But is there any interest in them moving to a soccer specific stadium or getting
like from the supporters? There's massive interest. The problem is they tried to get funding for it when the team started. There was actually a site for it waterfront area of Vancouver, in East Vancouver. And they had a site and everything, and they just couldn't get funding from the city to build a soccer-specific stadium. And so now it looks like there's no chance it'll happen.
So that's it, just turf forever? I mean, there's no chance that they can sort of lay sod over that or something?
Well, I'll tell you what, though, guys. The Leonard Doozy, he's our GM, he tells us it's the best turf in the world.
Ooh, how comforting.
Well, I trust Leonard Spicer. What was his name?
Leonard Doozy. He's actually a Canadian soccer legend.
Is he?
Bob Leonard Doozy is his name, yeah. But he played the World Cup and everything in the 80s when Canada was good. But yeah, Leonard Doozy, they always try to push that. But yeah, it sucks, man, because, you know, Drogba doesn't come and play. And I mean, you know, not only do we not bring players here, but the big players on other teams won't play against us sometimes. And that's the worst.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, Henri famously also wouldn't play on turf.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. When he was on the Red Bulls, he just wouldn't travel to any of the other, I think it was New England. If I remember, there was a lot of talk, and I remember on Twitter, some of the, you know, Arsenal fans were going at Red Bull fans, saying, like, leave him alone, he's a legend. But I think it was, you know, the playoff implications, and he still wouldn't play.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And because it kills your hamstrings, I guess? I don't know.
I think knees. I think it's just bad on everything. I think most likely, in my opinion, Thierry Henry actually had that agreement before he played with them. And that's why I think that it was like, that's what I think. I think he said, I'll sign with this, but I'm not playing the games on turf. That's what I think he said. But
probably,
anyways,
right.
Yeah. So do we want to talk about the match at all?
Oh, yeah. Boy. So let's go through a couple of the match. I mean, let's talk about.
Well, you know, before we talk about the actual matches, what happened? Because from everything I've heard and read, it seemed like the only thing you guys have been missing for 2 years is someone who can score. You got Freddie Montero. You brought him back. Cascadia legend.
He's a great player, and he's going to be great for us. He's going to score goals, and I think we'll make the playoffs because we have a player of that quality, and we have some more quality as well. But anyone who said we were only missing that was deadly wrong, because we're really, really missing someone in the center of the park to control the game. We don't have someone to do that, and it's a glaring error a glaring area where we need to fill. That's why they keep talking about Atiba Hutchinson, who's at Besiktas in Turkey. He's a Canadian national, and you know, there's hope that he would come. But yeah,
and he's a creative mid is what you're looking for?
Yeah, he's a holding midfield. He's a Michael Bradley type. So a defensively minded, holding, distributing box to box midfielder. And that's what we lack. We have Matias Laba, who's a defensive only midfielder, and we have no one to move the ball. And when you watch our games, you can see it. It's just, there's no one to move the ball out of the back.
Yeah, for the most part, I would say, in the matches I've watched, in the MLS matches and even the CCL match, the Whitecaps look, defensively, they look okay. It's not like you're that sort of concerned. I mean, when you see a giant man like Waston sort of just covering, you're fairly comfortable. But going, the big concern, or even the last two matches,
I don't know if these red cards are an issue of, like, character.
Is there a bonus they're getting? Because Frank Shea's going to buy a boat.
Is there some incentive for these red cards? Because they were brutal. Like, the Vancouver Whitecaps... Like, I don't think the Vancouver Whitecaps are as bad as they seem because they've just made poor errors in these last two matches.
It's true. We went up 2-0 against San Jose. Yeah. And then our goalie, David Ousted, who is a great goalie, one of the best in the league.
Yeah, sure. Always in my fantasy squad.
He's a great goalie. He's definitely one of the best. But he I don't know. I think he made a bad decision, but I think it's instinctive. The guy was in on a breakaway. I think it was Wondolowski was in on a breakaway and clean in, and he beat Ousted. And Ousted stuck his foot out and tripped him, which is automatic red card. And so he just instinctually, I think he did it. Because when you're up 2-0, I think you got to let him score there. We were controlling the game. We were playing well. But, yeah, as soon as that happened, it all changed. And then, yeah, last game, it was 0-0 against Toronto FC at home. And Breck Shea, he took a yellow card for a challenge and then a red card for saying fuck you to the ref.
Yeah, he told him to go fuck himself.
Why in the world did he do that?
He doubled down on it, too. He's like, well, did you just say that? He was like, yeah, I said that.
That was the problem. See, I gave him, when I was in the stadium, because I was there watching the game, so I didn't see it on the big screen until afterwards or like on the replay. So I thought it was bullshit. I said, you can't send someone off for saying something. You know, people swear all the time in professional football, you know? Yeah. But then the thing, when you see on the replay that the ref asked him, did you say that? And he's like, yes, I did. Then that's a little bit, I mean, he gave you an opportunity to say, no, I didn't, sir, I apologize, or something like that. And he doubled down, like you said. That's just stupidity.
As a Canadian, how do you feel about that? Because I look at that and I'm like, yo, that's gangster. That's the dude I want on my team right there.
Well, he's an American.
Yeah. Yeah, he's staying on brand. So he's right.
For sure.
To be honest, I think he might be a low key Trump supporter, to be honest. Yeah, I like it because on his Twitter, he has this photograph and he's got an American flag tank top and he's holding two assault rifles.
Yeah, he's eccentric. I think he voted for like a patch of grass. To be honest. You're right.
I know what you mean. He's like a painter and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he's kind of a complicated guy, I think.
Very, and I know that the biggest issue with him, even when he was at Stoke, people were like, they're never sure if they get through to him. Yeah. And I think you're seeing that now. But I remember when he was at FC Dallas, I loved him because he was one of those dudes that, like, if you went up to him and you were rough, he would just push you off. I like that attitude. I mean, maybe that's going too far.
I think the real issue is that when somebody with a man bun says "fuck you," you lose your mind. You're like,
let's be clear here. He actually didn't have a man bun at the game. He had two ponytails.
Oh, I didn't.
That's right. He had a top and a bottom ponytail.
He had two ponytails.
The ref couldn't believe it. Yeah.
And I was saying to my buddy, when you're younger, I don't know if you guys played footy when you're younger, but when I was younger, everyone had black boots. Except for one guy would also have white boots, you know, like you'd have white, and that white boot, if you had the white boots, you better be the best fucking player on the field.
For sure.
You better be fucking good. You better be nutmegging guy. You better be, you know, and that's how I feel about a double ponytail. If you're going to sport him, go out and put a double ponytail on. Yeah. You better be the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, you can't come in here. You can't come in here peacocking and then be mediocre.
Exactly.
Don't be showboating and then have nothing to back
it
up.
Well,
it's so peacocking, too, because he looks like a fucking peacock.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that was a big complaint like David Beckham had to deal with, right? Because he was like this pretty boy. He's dating a Spice Girl. And everything's going to get to his head. But he was like, no, I'm gorgeous and I'm going to humiliate you.
And then he launches a 30-yard pass that knocks a hot dog right off of a guy's hand. And
he arguably has more quality than Breck Shea.
Arguably. I think we could argue your point otherwise. We could debate that.
We liked Breck Shea when he came in the first couple. But yeah, in the Tigres match before that, you guys watched that as well, obviously.
Yes.
And he had that just a awful dive, just a terrible dive trying to win a penalty. And the keeper saw it coming too, so he pulled out of the challenge and it just looked even worse. He's three feet away and so it's tough to support a guy who's acting this way, but we're going to give him a few more weeks, I think.
Nice. And also, when you're playing one of those Mexican clubs, they're like experts at that stuff, you know?
Yes,
they could draw fouls from nothing. So I don't mind him going like, watch what I can do, and then just failing because I've been there so many times on stage.
A bit embarrassing, though. True. Yeah. I know the feeling of definitely going for a big bit and then just looking around and the keeper's 3 feet away from me.
Yeah, the big act out and nothing, and you're just stuck in this awkward position.
I always talk about that. I don't do big. I do generally just jokes. You know, I don't do a lot of huge act outs. You know,
yeah.
But I always talk about people with big closers. You know, like someone who has a big closer, it's like a musical closer, or it involves them like falling over onto the ground or something.
Too much.
Yeah. And, I mean, I need to do that when I help my stool.
Yeah.
But when I see them do it in a big crowd and it gets a big laugh, I always still picture the night where no one's there and they still have to do it. And then they're laying on the ground after they've just like dumped water on their head. And there's
right.
just two people sitting there, and then they have to get up and dust themselves off. And
the best is when they have to do that, because that's the joke on the shirt for the merch. And they have to do the joke to sell the merch. For everyone listening who's not a comedian, the shirt you buy at the end, sometimes they have like a reference to a joke that was said on stage. Mm-hmm. So if you have those shirts on you, you have to say that joke. And sometimes it's like a big to-do joke. There's like a musical like cue. And every other comic on the show, if there's no one in the audience, you watch that joke just to see the pain in their eyes going through this joke. Because you have to do it to make any money. Oh, it's the best. It's the worst and the best all at the same time.
I did a show in Connecticut once, and I'll say this guy's name because he's awful. This guy, older guy, Chips Cooney. You ever heard of this name?
No, that's
it sounds
name.
Racist.
Yeah, you're right. He sounds racist.
He does his comedy in blackface.
Yeah. while wearing a KKK outfit.
No. Old white guy.
Old Chips Cooney.
And, he was headlining. He got his like I guess fame from America's Got Talent. He was on the show and he did a bit called the oldest Chippendales dancer.
Or
the first Chippendales dancer. He was like the first guy, and now he's old. So his closing bit is him getting naked. Also, I forgot to mention, he also does magic for his first 20 minutes.
Of course he does. we knew that when you said Cooney.
Yeah, Chips Cooney.
Yeah.
So then he does his magic, then he does a couple of bits, and then he does his closing bit is... first Chippendales dancer. He starts to strip. He has a boom box.
Of course.
He starts playing music. He starts stripping. So I was two nights I was doing one show each. First night, I never heard of him, never saw him. I see him do this bit, levels the room. The room goes crazy.
Of course.
I'm like, to the point where I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
What am I writing jokes?
You're practicing dance moves in the back of the room.
Losing my mind. I'm like, how are these people into this? Going crazy. Second night, he goes up. He like cries a little tougher on everybody, but he still does his bit. He still does the first Chippendales dancer's bit, and same thing, getting naked,
boom
nothing,
box, nothing,
nothing, yes. Just committing. And he has terrible little bits. Like so, he has like a he takes off his shirt to reveal like a pacemaker. he's in his underwear, and then at one point he turns around. He has like tighty whities. He turns around, and then he has like a shit stain,
of course,
on the back.
Oh, what? That's actually pretty funny.
Chris is gonna steal that one.
Chris is like, oh, I'm gonna check this guy out.
The back of a Yuck Yucks are like, have you heard of this genius, Chips Cooney?
Hey, how do you know Yuck Yuck?
Oh, come on, who doesn't?
Oh, that's cool.
So, and then second night, look, he literally got absolutely nothing, and it made me so happy.
Yeah.
Just that was the thing that kept me in comedy for like 3 more years.
Yeah, that balanced
that
it out.
Failure.
No, well, is he still around, or is he passed on?
No, he's still around, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he's painting shit stains into underwear as we speak. So that kept you in comedy. What's kept you a Whitecaps fan? Because you've had two terrible matches to start this season.
I mean, the truth is you cannot get a refund on your season ticket. That's something that's been made very clear to me by my rep. The truth of it is I love football. I love playing it. I play FIFA. I'm obsessed with it. It's the only video game I play. I play online all the time.
Me too, by the way.
Oh, really? I should get your gamer.
Yeah, I've purchased one game a year for the last like 10 years, and it's only FIFA.
Yeah, me too. I bought an Xbox One just to play FIFA to get the new. You know, like I just get a system just to play it.
And me too. It's a FIFA machine.
Totally, and I love the way now with the online, the form actually matches up with the form in real life. So, like, I'll be watching Manchester United, and I know if Ibrahimovic has a great game, I'm like, oh, 2 days, his form's going to be up 2 points in my online, and like, so it's all sort of connected. And so the idea of being able to watch live football I love that. And it's important to me. And I would probably watch them if they were last place, you know, like I would probably go just to watch live football. But yeah, I get frustrated, man. If you listen to the podcast, you know, I try to not be one of those super negative fans, but I get really down on them. I get down on the coach. I think his tactics are fraudulent. I call him Carl Fraudbenson.
Oh, very nice.
Boom.
Thank you.
Roasted.
Got him.
And we do. And we hate Hurtado the most.
That's the funniest thing is I think I listened to your most recent show first. And as soon as you guys started, like 2 minutes in, you started shitting on Hurtado. And like you were saying, like he's not even USL quality, which is so funny.
We think he is US. We think he would be like he would come off the bench in the USL.
That's and it.
Seven or eight goals a year.
Yeah. Which brings up we have NYCFC just got Okoli, who was for FC Cincinnati, and I think he was the MVP of the league scoring there. He hasn't got too much burn over here, but I mean that's basically busting some shots at Hurtado. Not a fan, I'm guessing.
Oh, we hate Hurtado, and people ask is like they'll say on the message board some probably old guy with a family or something will be like, hey, what if Hurtado listens or to the show or something. And it's like, if his parent, what if his parents listened? Someone said that.
That's hilarious.
One time we were at the game, two games ago, and there was I was talking shit about Hurtado in the stands to my brother, who I'm at the game with. And so we're talking about how Hurtado sucks. And then this older couple got up and walked away from us.
You walked them?
No, yeah. And then so my brother was like, I think that's Hurtado's parents, you know? And then we were laughing about like the fact that imagine if we saw them leave, like they had to keep moving all game, like because everyone that they stood beside was talking shit about Hurtado. So we just see them all game moving to new seats.
That would be hilarious.
He's a terrible. The problem is that he's a striker and he doesn't score. That's the bottom line, right? He's and so for a team, obviously supporters want to see goals. You know, even casual supporters, they're like goals. We want to see teams score.
Yeah.
And he's the striker and he doesn't score. And he consistently gets chances and doesn't score. And he has, you know, 3-4 goals in 3 years. And he's just he's not an MLS quality player. I actually had a chance to talk to our president and I asked him, like he called me back, Leonard Doozy, this guy.
Yeah.
And he called me and I before the season and I actually got to speak to him on the phone and I said, why do you think Eric Hurtado is a MLS quality player when no one else does? And yeah, he actually said to me, he's like, yeah, a lot of other teams want him. Like, what would you say if they asked, if I told you other teams want him? And I said, I would say, why the fuck haven't you sold him?
Yeah, for sure.
He laughed about it, but still they play him. I don't know, man. I don't get it. Is he a center forward style?
Is he more like,
he's a number nine. He's a striker. That's what he's meant to do is score goals. He doesn't score goals. To me, he signifies a team that's okay with mediocrity. He signifies having that player in your lineup is a team that's okay with being middle of the table, bottom of the table.
What do you other than you mentioned a little bit? I think you know we were talking about that the number one missing piece was a scorer. You seem to think there's more.
Yeah, there's a center of the park, somebody to control the center of the park. Atiba Hutchinson's who everybody wants, although I just saw a report that said MLS isn't going to cover enough of his transfer fee, so it looks like he's not going to come. But yeah, we're missing someone in the center of the park to distribute the ball. Well, we have nobody.
What about Alphonso Davies? Is there like an expectation that he will sort of grow into like a stronger midfielder? Or
no, he's a wide player. Alphonso Davies, I'm big on. He's wonderful talent. He had a bad game against TFC. It was kind of his first bad game in a while, but it's pretty unbelievable to see a 16-year-old kid out there, and he's often the best player on the field.
Legitimately. He's incredible.
We get 2 more years with him because he started in our youth academy. So the rules in Europe, he can't join another team until he's 18. So we get him for 2 more seasons, but he's gone after that for sure. There's no way. Manchester United, teams like that are looking at him. He's that good.
What about Kakutamane?
Kakutamane, oh, he's kind of, I don't know, man. He doesn't track back defensively. That's a problem. He doesn't seem to want to play defense. And yeah, I don't know if it's injuries, but he hasn't panned out. He's not had a good start to the year.
I mean, he's got so much skill, and I know the U.S. national team is really big on him as well.
He's got a lot of pace, a lot of pace. He's the fastest MLS player in FIFA, like for the FIFA ratings. So, I mean, he's so much pace.
It's good to know for career mode, actually. Thank you for sharing that.
And he has a lot of, you can't even play with Davies in the game. Do you know that? That's the one frustrating thing. I play with the Whitecaps, and you can't play with Davies because he's too young, I guess. They're not allowed to use him in the game.
Oh,
that's crazy.
I think he has to hold up his passport to the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, rules are rules.
That's his photo. His bust is him holding his passport. Please, you know, let me on.
One thing I do love on the Podcaps podcast is how much concern you have over Alphonso Davies' well-being and how much are people abusing a child.
Well, we've just made note of the fact that you may be a little bit more hesitant to commit a hard foul on a 16-year-old child.
Yeah.
And we like to yell at people from the stands. I do, certainly. That whenever he is fouled, we scream at the guy. That's a child. That's a goddamn child.
They should show a little bit more sympathy.
I would love to see, like, you know, Dax McCarty apologize. I'm so sorry. You're right.
I feel like this didn't have to do with Davies, but we lost one of our guys, Jordi Reyna, one of the guys that we signed in the offseason, a Peruvian national who looked really good, and we lost him 3 months because some guy stomped his foot, broke his foot.
Jeez.
And so
the picture I saw where he took his boot off and he had like a gash?
I don't know if that's it. I'm not sure. I mean, I haven't seen that photo. I saw he posted a photo of the walking, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was a gash. It was no. It was just a break. Just a break. But yeah, so the guy, I actually, I'm not proud of this. Okay, guys. I went and looked at the video. I found, because it was a preseason game, and so you could find it was on Facebook. You could watch the whole match again.
Yeah.
So I went and found the stomp and found the player who stomped him. And found that player on Twitter and started sending tweets about him stomping Jordi Reyna and until the guy blocked me on Twitter.
Of course, yeah.
And then now I'm going to go to the game and stand in John's seats, because John's in the supporter section too, but he's like one row. He's right behind the net, like close enough that people can hear.
Yeah.
And I'm going to yell, I'm this person on Twitter, like, so he knows that
it was me. You're going to get at him in person?
Yeah. In person, I'm going to let him know that was me on Twitter. And then all of those things on Twitter I said will start sinking in during the game.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that's great, because a lot of times people, when people get sort of like harassed or whatever, people start talking smack.
Hey, let's not use criminal terms.
Or people start talking smack on Twitter. Yeah, they're like,
throw shade. Yeah, that's not illegal in Canada, is it?
Yeah.
The common trope is like, oh, these are just losers in their parents' basements and whatever. They'll never say anything like this to my face.
I do live in my parents' basement. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to say it to your face.
Yeah, right. That's great. No, you're no coward.
No, your mom's waiting in the minivan. It's running just in case it comes at you, but you're no coward.
Yeah, that's right. You guys get it. I forget what his name is, too, and I'll be honest with you, he's not even a starting player. So it's going to be tough. I might have to go over to where there's, the bench and yell at him on the bench.
Hilarious. You're planning this out.
Just have a big billboard with your Twitter handle.
Yeah. Big sign that said, why'd you block me? I'm at, what is it? The CJ, right?
Well, it was one of my other Twitter accounts. I didn't use my actual one. I used an anonymous one.
Yeah.
I used one that I used to troll alt-right accounts.
Oh, perfect.
Not bad.
Yeah. I like this guy a lot.
Good way to spend the weekend.
Yeah. So he'd be really confused when he looked at the page too. Like, it would be the only thing related to anything Vancouver or MLS related. Everything else would be tweeting at like Trump supporters. And
yeah. he just asked himself, is like, am I in the alt-right?
Yeah.
What did I do?
I stomped one guy's foot. All of a sudden I'm a neo-Nazi.
He's a person of color as well. So he'd have to really be like, why am I in the alt-right?
Yeah. I guess, you guys have an amazing podcast, but you've only done 3 episodes. Are you adding anything else? Are you going to start doing some videos?
Oh, I'm not really sure. We do have a really good idea for a promo photo, and that is that we stand with our backs when we find out, or when the Whitecaps have a penalty in the game, we go stand with our backs to the penalty and have someone take a video of the penalty, and then we take a screenshot of as the ball's going in, and we have our backs turned to it.
Yeah, that's like
and then it's that's like you, so it's.
It's like, sorry? Jurgen Klopp. That's what Jurgen Klopp does. Like, well, he doesn't want to watch.
Yeah, he turns around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We just thought it would be funny because it would be like, these guys are supposed to be the biggest Whitecaps fan, and then they miss, they're missing the only, like, interesting part of the
match. You're, like, looking down at your phones with your back's
turned. It always makes me laugh. The supporters, the guys who lead the supporters, and they spend their whole the whole game with their back turned.
Oh, the capos. Like
is that what they're called?
Yeah, the capos. They're the ones that like lead the cheer on, and they don't watch the match.
wait. Do they call them capos outside of New York, or is that maybe a...
No, that's like the official. That's like a South American term as well. And oh, I think okay. in Italy they use it because they don't do that in England.
Okay.
Yeah, in Italy they call it first guy you stab. In Italy.
I know. In New York, you guys have a bit of the problem with the mafia.
Yeah, I mean, in the 80s, Matt, like, was the end of it. But, yeah, I mean, I'm saying it still exists in a few places.
Yeah, we just call them, the friendly support leader. That's what they call them.
We call them union heads. Yeah. That would be great if our capo was, like, wearing a suit and holding a cigar.
I also had a hard hat on.
Yeah, this isn't going to work out. Yeah.
You guys are not chanting hard enough.
Yeah, all our chants start with, oh.
Oh, do you guys have good chants?
We're working. We're working on it. You know what it is that our supporters for NYCFC are kind of segmented. So there's some really like the Hearts of Oak do like a lot of English style sort of, song based style chanting. And then we have the Templados, which are like South American, a lot of drums, a lot of singing about how much you love the club. And then everyone else is sort of somewhere in between. So it's kind of split. You know, honestly, without our own soccer stadium, it feels very segmented. It feels very broken apart. But the atmosphere is still there. It's still a lot of fun. Yeah. I've had a good friend of mine. I'm an Arsenal fan, and he's from England. He's a really big Arsenal fan on Twitter.
Well, you guys had a good weekend, eh?
Oh, God. All right. I hope Ibrahimovic dies.
United just went ahead of Arsenal.
I know, right? And I actually text my buddy Forever Sixth. I customized a Manchester United jersey, and the name was Forever, and the number was six. And I texted to him. He didn't respond to me until Saturday. And he responded back with like, who's in six now? And I was like, I respect how much you hid in the bushes until you had your chance. We didn't get a chance to talk to John, but you guys are absolutely hilarious. Where can our fans find you? And we have fans from all over the league, so maybe there's some Vancouver Whitecap fans listening. Where can they find the podcast?
It's Podcaps on iTunes, Podcaps FC on Twitter.
That's Podcaps FC.
Yeah, FC on Twitter. And then John Cullen is my co-host. He's Cullen the Comic on Twitter, and I'm at the CJS. Yeah, he's got, I don't know, CullenTheComic.com. I'm ChrisJamesComedy.com. All that shit. Oh, and check out Podcast Rescue on, you can actually watch the episodes on Pornhub.com.
Sure.
I've heard of that website.
Yeah. So not at work.
Yeah.
There's going to be an HR meeting where they're like, I swear to God, it was a podcast about the Whitecaps.
To be honest with you, we used to just put them up on YouTube, and then the fans started to complain. They said, why can't I watch the edited episodes on a pornography website? And so I uploaded it to Pornhub.
That's hilarious. You guys are absolutely funny. And next time you guys are in New York, hit us up, man. We'd love to have you on a video or.
I host a stand-up show. You guys are more welcome to be on it next time you're in New York.
Oh, yeah, cool. Definitely. I'll be on it for sure. You should check out John's video before you commit.
But that's
I'm just joking.
Yeah, let's just leave that between us.
Thanks so much, man. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun. You guys are hilarious, too. I'm going to start listening to your podcast, I think.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah, well, you can find it on youporn.com.
Say hi to Pavone for me.
I will, yeah.
We will, man.
Yeah, that's another comic from Canada.
Another Canadian boy.
Yeah, there's too many of them in New York. You guys are getting too many opportunities down here. Go back. You got free healthcare. You don't need us. So that was Chris James with Cobb. Podcaps FC or Podcaps Podcast at Podcaps FC.
It's on Twitter.
It's a hard one.
It's tough to get out of your mouth sometimes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we'll be right back after this.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to that first segment. We got the second segment coming right up. First, we just wanted to break in real quick and ask you to do us a huge favor.
Yeah, all we want you to do is just subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is the,
oh, man.
That's the big... Look, we work very hard on this podcast. We're also making a very concerted effort to put out some more video content for you guys. And we want to get some people watching those videos as well.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you got about like 30 more seconds before the second segment comes up. So I beg you, if you're on your phone, you can do other stuff while you're listening to this podcast. Why don't you click on YouTube, the YouTube app? Why don't you put in Soccer Cooligans and just hit that subscribe button? And if you can, hit that little bell, that notification, let you know every time we put up a video. We're working really hard to give you guys at least one video a week. We have a video right now that's called FIFA the News that we're playing FIFA, and we're having that predict the biggest match. And we're talking about a lot of stuff that's happening on the news in the video, and there's a lot of cool editing that's involved. It takes a long time, but it's really, really funny.
Exactly. So look, we're doing a lot of work. We want just a little bit of validation. Just a little bit.
Is that that hard? Come on.
We're just two little comedians. Yeah. Want a little like?
Too poor. I would like some more, please. Some more followers and subscribers on our YouTube. If you can, hit the like button, comment on some of the videos if you can. At the very minimum, hit the subscribe and maybe even share it with your friends. It would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's our podcast.
That's it. That's it, everybody. Thank you for listening. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Chris James. Make sure check out the podcast. It's on iTunes. Go to @podcapsfc if you want to follow them on Twitter and support those guys too. You know, because if you're a Vancouver Whitecaps fan, even better. But like again, comedy. We're running things. We're taking over.
And if you do, leave a review on their podcast. Make sure you mention that you found out about it from the Cooligans.
Oh, yeah. They'd love that.
They would absolutely love that. Well, that's our episode.
On their podcast on iTunes, just say...
Review Hours.
Just say, I love the Cooligans so much. They're so funny.
Yeah. Oh, my God, please. If you guys are listening... Make sure you leave 5 stars. I don't want to fuck up to that. But put how much you love the Cooligans on their reviews. That would be the greatest.
What a lovely prank we'll play.
So please, God, if you guys are listening, I'd love to see at least 3 or 4 of these. Please do me that favor. That would be absolutely hilarious. Well, that's our podcast for this week. Next week, we're going to be back in studio together. I'll be back from Vegas and LA.
Yeah, well.
I'll have a tan and a couple more pounds.
Sure. They come hand in hand. Those
oh,
things.
For sure.
Eating
And that tan is going to be from my blood.
So yes, guys, make sure you like I said, subscribe to the podcast, leave a review on iTunes. It really does help. It helps us climb in the rankings.
Absolutely.
And follow us on all social media at Soccer Cooligans. Oh, you know what, very quickly, maybe, and just a quick serious point, because one of our fans and just supporters, Daniel Kuzer, who Kansas City comedian and also a big fan of Sporting KC, just want to show some love. He had a grandmother that just passed away. My girlfriend's grandfather just passed away, and it was all very suddenly. Well, a huge bummer, but. Dan Kuzer, just want to let you know, we're praying for you. Love you, dude.
We're thinking about
you, man. So, just wanted to say that because, we're a bunch of idiots who make a bunch of jokes, but we can show some love too.
Yeah, we put out what does the FC stand for in Cooligans FC, and we got some funny ones: fried chicken, foul chunder, flatulent cowboys, finicky children, flaccid cucumbers is hilarious. But something that people didn't say: a family. It's something with a C.
Something with a C. Yeah, because
we are a family. So Daniel Kuzer, sorry to hear about the family getting a little smaller, but hopefully this brings your family a little closer in this time of need.
Yeah, man. All right. So everybody, thank you so much.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
I'm Christian Polanco.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans.